Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Some of the most nasty fights, divorcing couples, or couples who are separating, is over the family pet. And I think more frequently, sorry, cat lovers, I think mostly it's about dogs, not so much about cats. If I was in a relationship that was breaking up and there was a cat, take it. Just take it. Take it first. Dog? No. This dog is not leaving this house. It's not happening. And there's so many people who feel so emotionally attached to dogs. You know, I've talked about my dogs very often. I've had dogs most of my life. Always thought that they're just wonderful beings. They never lie to you. They don't have any schemes planned. They're honest, and they make your life better. I don't have a dog now because my two little buddies, they died 3 weeks apart a few years ago. And so I've gotten it from everything from 150-pound Rottweiler to, hang on to your seats now, six Dobermans in my house, six of them. People used to ask me if I had theft insurance. I said, no. All I would say is to anybody who breaks into the house, good luck to you, because they're coming, all six of them. When you invite somebody in the house, they were friendly, they'd lick you, they'd bring you their toys, but if you walked into the house and you were not welcomed, No. Sort of reminds me that you remember the story about the burglar? Breaks into the house 3 o'clock in the morning with a flashlight. No, I'm not going to tell you this one. I was thinking about it. You probably know what I'm going to say. You know the story by now. Okay, I'll tell you. So he hears a voice in the dark, and the voice says, Jesus is watching. And the burglar looks around and says, what was that? Shines his flashlight around, doesn't see anything, turns off the flashlight, and he hears, Jesus is watching. Turns the flashlight on again, and he sees a parrot in a cage in the corner. And he goes over to the parrot, and he says, was that you? The parrot said, yep. And the burglar says to the parrot, what's your name? And the parrot says, Lord Bartholomew Smith. And the burglar says, who would name a parrot Lord Bartholomew Smith? And the parrot says, the same person who named the Rottweiler Jesus. So I'm not trying to offend anybody. If you can't see humor in things anymore, and so many people can't, it's your loss. I'm not joining you. So this brings... He's laughing already. Have you heard that one before, Scott?
I have before, but the way you tell it, it's great. It's nice to hear that, and I guess that's why I'm at the tail end of your program today.
Oh, that's very good. That's very good. You're the tail that wags the dog.
Oh. Right. Well, things are changing in BC. How often do you hear that? We're kind of ahead of the rest of the country.
Yeah.
I think that's fairly...
Let me introduce here.
Sure.
So this is my good friend, Scott Taylor. He's a family lawyer in Langley, British Columbia. Taylor Law Group in Langley. And Scott informed me earlier this week of British Columbia law that is now going to make it more difficult, or it's going to change the parameters of who gets the dog when a couple or a family breaks up. And I think it's really good because Melvin Belli?
Yeah.
He was that litigator, legendary litigator in the United States. He fought with his wife for forever over who would get the dog. And then when he died, he left 10 grand to the dog.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I left more than that. I left more than that to a rescue organization who were going to get my dogs when I died. as long as they never separated them and took care of them.
You mean?
Yeah. But they died first, so so the money, you know, I'm spending the money on me now. So.
Well, you know, Roy, they've actually, a lot of people are celebrating the changes to the BC.
Well, tell us about it. Tell us about it, Scott. Well, what happened?
This has to do, you're right. Let's just focus on Rover, I think. Not that, I mean, I own a cat, I have a dog, but let's just make this all about Rover. Well, it all comes down to what happens when people separate and they have a pet, you know, a much loved pet. And the old way of doing it, and this is still across Canada, this is how it's done. Well, you look at who bought the dog in the first place, who paid the vet bills, you know, who takes the dog out for a walk every morning. It was fairly simple to decide, okay, this person's going to have custody of Rover because of those factors. Well, then the people and the legislators in BC decided, well, you know what? Rover isn't really a piece of furniture. He's really not a piece of property, family property. He's a sentient animal, a sentient being. So we want to put some additional factors in place to help people decide where Rover is going to end up, if there's a contested issue of where does Rover end up. And so what they've done, they've introduced a number of other factors to be considered as to who gets custody of Rover. One really interesting thing about this legislation too, Roy, is that courts now in BC, they didn't have before, they now have jurisdiction to make orders as to who has custody of Rover. But the courts can't make decisions about who has joint custody of Rover, only who gets Rover. End of story. But here's the thing that I think some people are missing, because a lot of people have hailed it as, this is so much better. You know, this takes the dog's feelings into consideration. They shouldn't be considered like a, you know, a couch. But it deals with the dog's relationship with any children that the parents might have. And so what the legislation is going to do is going to assess a child's relationship with the pet as one of the key factors in deciding where does Rover end up. But the problem with that, or the challenge with that, is Roy, is that if you have two parents fighting over who gets the children, whoever gets the children is going to get the pets.
Mm-hmm.
According to this, now, I mean, it doesn't say that, but essentially the child's relationship with the pet will decide where does Rover go to live. So adding on top of all the stress and you know, tension between parents who are fighting over the custody of children, well, now we've just added Rover to the list. And that's my concern.
Yeah, and I would think, Scott, that in some cases, the person who does not get Rover and wants Rover is going to be more adamant about getting the rest of the stuff. They won't let go of things that they otherwise might have said, yeah, you can have.
Well,
really
absolutely. I mean, right, you know, it doesn't take a lot. It doesn't necessarily, for someone who's not seeing this in the same way or have the same perspective, people who are going through the stress of separation, even things that seem absolutely nonsensical, just absolutely silly things, you know, become more important than anything. And that's because of the emotional intensity of the situation. And so this is just adding one more level of, I believe, of stress and tension. It's not going to make things easier. A lot of people in BC have said, oh, this is great. This is all we need. We're not going to have, you know, who bought the dog? He gets the dog. That's not the way it's going to be anymore. But this just goes to show you that the best of intentions can sometimes not end up going where you would like them to go. And so that's a concern I have. And so, again, being a family lawyer with children, it's how important pets can be. But the parent who's on the losing side of the children will ostensibly be on the losing side of the pets as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I've thought.
So I need to take a break here, and then we'll come back and talk to you. But is it then almost automatic that if there are children in the relationship, the marriage, the relationship, and the children are assigned or, I don't know, what's the term?
Well, if there's an order
that granted,
the children reside primarily with one of the two parents.
So does that mean that that parent who gets custody of the children automatically gets the dog?
No, it doesn't. Not automatically, but one of the considerations that's never been considered before, Roy, is the child's relationship with the pet. And I think most children, I think virtually all children will have a pretty close relationship with the pet.
Yeah, it's very important. It's very important because it could be very traumatic for a child to see parents break up and then lose your dog as well.
That's right. No, absolutely. But for the parent who had both children and pet, following that kind of decision, they lose it all.
Yeah. So what if the parent who gets custody of the children and by extension gets custody of the dog says, I don't want the dog. I just want the kids.
Well,
I was going to ask you that.
Well, no, I mean, it's up to the very best.
I don't want the dog. I just want the kids. No. You take Rover.
It's expensive, and they shed everywhere, and they do shed. The best thing that can be done.
You sound like you're complaining about your dog, Mr. Taylor.
The best thing that can happen, very best thing, is that you don't let a judge. Like most things, you do not let a judge decide your future, whatever that entails, so to speak.
Yeah.
It really comes down, if there is a pet, there's two options that parents can take advantage of. Number one, at the beginning of the relationship, they can have a cohabitation or a marriage agreement that says, if we have any pets, this is how they're going to be. This is how they're going to be shared.
There'll still be a fight.
You can do that. It gets rid of a lot of tension. Or if you're separating from the other parent and there are pets, you sit down like everything else. You know, you're going to keep the RSPs or I'm going to divide those RSPs.
No, you can't have the RSPs.
I'll trade Rover for the RSP.
I want Rover and the RSP. I'm getting so many photographs of dogs. I knew it was going to happen. I knew it was absolutely going to happen. Great pictures of dogs. I think 90% of people who have dogs have pictures of their dogs on their phones. Scott Taylor does. I know that, eh? Hey, Scott, you have a picture of your dog on your phone?
I do. Yes.
Of course
I have
you
do. A little mini Aussie Shepherd, which has a lot of energy and a lot of hair. But lover. Yeah. No, it's.
It's an amazing relationship that you have with dogs. I'm sure some people have an amazing relationship with cats. I just don't get it. Enough of that. We have about 2 minutes here. Do you expect or are you seeing an increase in pet custody cases where there are no kids involved, but there are pets involved and people are splitting up?
Well, I haven't to date, but whether that will happen or not, it would make much more sense for anyone who's listening, who has a pet and they're both going their separate ways, is before you decide to have court make a decision about who gets Rover, I think take a step back, take a deep breath, have the help of a good counsel or a mediator to help wade in and make those decisions. It should be, if it's going to be everything else that's going to one person or the other or going to be shared, make a decision about Rover that beforehand. Don't let a court make a decision for you.
What's your dog's name?
Annie.
So why do you keep saying Rover?
Rover. Well, because I just, it's a generic. It's a generic.
I got to tell you, nobody under the age of 60 has ever come across a dog named Rover.
I know.
Right?
But Rover just...
Here he goes again.
I don't know. for the 60 crowd, it works. No, absolutely.
No, I think it's a really important story, and I'm glad you made me aware.
Well, you know what? It's always a pleasure. Glad to hear your voice is returning.
Well, it is. It is. By next weekend, it's going to be like it always was, but right now it's starting to get really down there.
Well,
that's the end of the laryngitis when that happens. Scott Taylor is a family law expert, the Taylor Law Group in Langley, British Columbia. He's a good guy, good lawyer.
Well, it's always a pleasure, Roy, to be on your program, and I wish you health and happiness
until we
speak again.
Thank you, and you as well, Scott. Thank you. Say hello to Annie for me.
I sure will.
Okay,
take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Scott Taylor, Annie's the dog. No, nobody has a dog named Rover. Nobody. Nobody listening to this program right across this country has a dog named Rover. Nobody.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.